How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I am your host, Matthew Morgan, and today we are going to be talking about a whole bunch of things, mainly politics. But if you have anything you would like to say that is not politically related, feel free to call in 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I'm happy to talk about whatever you want to talk about. But up until then, there was a post made on Easter threatening Iran, threatening to, you know, wipe them off the face of the earth and whatnot. And nothing happened, so that's always good. But I don't really know what the game plan there was. I mean, I don't think that big bluffs like that are good. I mean, it's like how Putin always does the nuclear lines in the sand, or I guess he hasn't in a while because we haven't really done a whole lot with the war in Ukraine. But originally, when we were, you know, shipping weapons to the war in Ukraine, if we were going to send, I don't remember what it was, but like something like missiles or something, he had his nuclear forces on like, I don't know, high ready or something, and, you know, drew nuclear lines in the sand like two or three times, and he just never. I mean, no, I'm good, glad, of course, that he didn't drop a nuke. But I just, you know, I don't even believe it's the first time he's done so. So, I mean, I don't know. It just, after a while, you know, you just kind of start to go, okay, you know. Trump's done that a lot in his you know, presidency with, you know, many different things at this point. I don't know. Hopefully, there is a conference going on right now in Pakistan. Iran's delegation has arrived, and J.D. Vance is going to lead the negotiations on behalf of the U.S. You know, I don't know. I figured there was somebody whose job it was to negotiate things. I didn't think that it was just, I don't know. I figured the, I guess it depends on who's all with them, I suppose. Well, J.D. Vance isn't a dumb guy. I don't think he's dumb. But I don't know. I mean, I don't necessarily feel great with J.D. Vance handling the negotiations. He did say to Iran to, like, not play with America or something like that during the negotiations. So I guess, you know, I don't know. He feels that there's going to be not exactly real talks, perhaps. I don't know. I'm sure he's just posturing, though, to some extent, but nonetheless, I don't see what the point of that is. But anyways, yes, Trump's Truth Social post went nowhere. We didn't bomb Iran. And there was a 10-point plan that was put out. The 10-point plan is, 1 second, I'm gonna pull up the thing here so I can just have it. But the 10-point plan, it's not, I mean, I guess it wouldn't be all that hard to do the things, I just don't know that, we'll do it. So there's a bunch of things on here, but like the lifting of all primary and secondary sanctions on Iran. I mean, you know, I don't think it'd be great to do such a thing. I mean, if you're at war with, I mean, it's not a, you know, peace agreement. It's a ceasefire. Continued Iranian control over the Strait of Hormuz. That's the whole point. You don't want them to have the Strait of Hormuz. And they didn't have the Strait of Hormuz before the whole conflict began to begin with. U.S. military withdrawal from the Middle East. You know, we have a lot of troops in the middle, 50,000, according to the U.S. military. That's a lot of troops to be withdrawing from the Middle East. I don't know exactly where in the Middle East, or if it's just the Middle East as a whole. The release of frozen Iranian assets, I feel like that's along the same lines as lifting the sanctions. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But yeah, I mean, there's just, I don't know, a bunch of things. And apparently there's also, like, the bombing, or the cease the bombing of Lebanon, and, you know, some other things, but apparently the bombing of Lebanon was, I don't know, there's some discrepancy there. The U.S. and Israel claim it was not in the peace agreement. Pakistan and Iran say it was in the peace agreement. So, during these peace talks, Iran has said that it's one of the things that they want to add before the peace talks can even... They want the bombings in Lebanon to cease happening before the peace talks, or the ceasefire talks, I suppose, pick back up. But I don't know, I'm not really all that confident in the ceasefire vote. There's, I mean, you know, they assassinated the Ayatollah, which was the new Ayatollah's father, and they've, you know, bombed the, there was a school they bombed, and they bombed the South Pars gas field, and they've bombed bridges. I mean, you know, it's just not, I mean, they bombed their, I think they targeted a nuclear energy facility, which isn't great. I mean, you know, should there be, I don't think a meltdown would be the right term if you struck it with a missile, but, I mean, it's, I assume would be the same concept. There'd be a lot of radiation spread around, and I mean, I'd assume it's not going to be as bad as Chernobyl, because we've just had a lot of advancement since then, but, you know, a radiation leak due to a bomb is, or due to a, I guess, a destroyed reactor, sorry, my head broke, couldn't think of the word reactor, you know, it's not, tends to be great. I don't know, I generally tend to be a fan of nuclear energy, but it there, you know, it is kind of sketchy, I guess. But there are a lot of safety features that we didn't have prior that we have now, and things like that. But nonetheless, there is that. Now, Melania has called on Congress to allow Epstein's victims to give congressional testimony, and I thought that this was good. I mean, I'm a fan of that whole idea. Congressional testimony is always a good thing, in my opinion. Get it on the record. Now, I don't know how many of these Epstein victims would be willing to do so publicly in the Congress, but she, you know, had a press conference and said so. But, you know, it's interesting that she had, I mean, she had to have gone against Trump, and I would think. I mean, I don't think Trump wanted this to be brought back up. I mean, people were kind of done talking about the Epstein files for now. There's, you know, a war happening. As a matter of fact, some people have called it the Epstein Wars because they're convinced that the wars are done just to stop the, well, the talking of the Epstein files. But also, Melania Trump, in the interview she gave, denied allegations of a, because apparently there were allegations, I didn't know that this was ever a theory or a thing that people had thought up, but she also denied allegations of any relationship with Epstein and denies being an Epstein victim. I didn't know that that was also a theory. I didn't know that, it wouldn't surprise me if she had a relationship with Epstein. I mean, you know, she's married to Donald Trump and has been for, you know, a little while, and Trump has been friendly with Epstein for a little while, so, yeah, I think that, you know, I think that it fits, but I don't know where the whole Epstein victim thing came from or any of that, but, she denied it, so, I mean, I don't know about all that, but, nonetheless, I don't know, I find that confusing, like I said, it just, it's confusing to me, but, survivors of Epstein's abuse apparently are not a fan. They have, I guess, said that she is shifting the burden onto the victims. Now, I don't know exactly what, I don't, maybe I didn't phrase it wrong. I don't know, I don't know. I figured that it would be good. I think congressional testimony is always a good thing. I don't know why it would be shifting burden onto the victims. I mean, I'm sure that they're not happy because she just said, I knew nothing about it. Take that up with them, basically. But, I don't know. I figured it was a good thing. So I don't know why they felt otherwise, but nonetheless, well, here we go. I have a quote. Survivors of Jeffrey Epstein have already shown extraordinary courage by coming forward, filing reports, and giving testimony, said a group of 13 people and the brother and sister of late Virginia, Giuffre, and who was one of the most vocal Epstein accusers. And now asking more of them now is a deflection of responsibility, not justice. I don't know. Personally, I think that, I don't know why you wouldn't want to testify. It's basically testifying against the people who you say did the things. I don't know why you wouldn't. I mean, the government has obviously grossly mishandled, in my opinion, the release of the Epstein files. But, I think that this is a good thing. I mean, I don't know why it would be a bad thing to, I mean, you know, it'll be there forever. C-SPAN lasts infinitely. But, I don't know. Anyways, apparently they weren't very happy about that. And I can imagine as far as the denial of a relationship goes, I suppose. You know, I mean, they're the victims of Epstein. But, you know, there is that. By the way, as I said, you are welcome to call in 740-383-9944. That is 740-383-9944. Kamala Harris is still out there. Kamala Harris is plotting another presidential run. She was on giving an interview for, I can't remember where. She was giving an interview somewhere. And there were chants for her to run again, and she said that she has been considering it. So Kamala might be running again. It sounds to me like she's, like, feeling it out, but it doesn't necessarily surprise me. She had a quote that says something along the lines of that she has been a heartbeat away from the presidency for four... She was a heartbeat away from the presidency for 4 years, and she knows how to do the job, basically. And she said that she, you know, sat in the vice president's office and, you know, that kind of thing, and did the work and so on and so forth. I don't know that it would be popular for Kamala to run again. I mean, she lost to Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump wasn't exactly the strongest candidate, I don't think. I mean, you know, it was a rough election. I don't know. There's a lot of people who want to run in that election, so I think there's going to be a pretty big primary as far as that goes. It would seem to me that Kamala's going to be in it. I do believe Pritzker's probably going to be in it. Shapiro's probably going to be in it. Newsom's probably going to be in it. It wouldn't surprise me if, like, Wes Moore got in it. He's the governor of Maryland. I mean, there's a lot of people who would, like, I mean, I don't know. It's a good time. It's a good time to run for president as a Democrat, I suppose. I don't know. The primaries for president are always big, I suppose. But nonetheless, yeah, there's gonna be a lot of people there, and I'm ready for the primary. I'm ready for the presidential primaries already. Now I'm not exactly sold on Kamala. I mean, I wasn't sold on her for the last election. I do not know. I think it's interesting nonetheless, though. I don't know what makes you think it's a good idea to run again. But, you know, I'm not her. So, there's that. Artemis 2, by the way, has returned back, landed in the ocean, has been, or I don't know if it has been yet, but I do believe it has been, it arrived at like 8 o'clock, it has to have been, recovered by the Coast Guard at this point, and, you know, so the crew should be heading back to the California coast, at least if they're not there already. I would assume they are, though. Maybe. Anyways, so that's always good. Glad to see that. I'm interested to see what they've learned. And like I said last week, I mean, they released some great pictures. If you haven't seen the pictures, I do suggest you go look at them. They've us took a basically like a copy of Earthrise, the really famous picture from whenever the picture was taken. I don't remember. But nonetheless, great pictures. I suggest you look at those. Also, I did hear that NASA was planning to build a base on the moon, if I recall correctly. I'm trying to think of the name of it. One second. It just says that it's planning to build a lunar outpost by 2030. So, I don't know. I'm interested in that. And it's going to be on the south pole of the moon. Moon bases are going to be fascinating. I am excited. I am a big fan of the space travel. I think we should have never slowed down on the space travel. I mean, we went to the moon ages ago and then just said, "Welp, that's it," and then stopped. I don't know what that was about, but I think we should get back to that. And I think we should give a lot more money to NASA. We, you know, we give so much money to the military to waste on stupid stuff like you know, warfare. And, you know, I think that there's more benefit to all of humanity to going to space and trying to figure out how to be sustainable up there. But, you know, I don't know, with factionalism and all that good stuff, people just can't get along for some reason. But it would be pretty cool should this moon base happen. And now it is going to be a multi-phase thing, obviously. You know, it takes a while to build things in space. It's going to be a $30 billion, and it's going to be roughly $30 billion, and it's going to be three phases. So I do believe they're going to I don't know, set up equipment first, probably see if the equipment can even survive a moon day, because the moon has like days, but it's like 2 weeks at a time, I think. And yeah, so 2 weeks of darkness on the moon is very cold, could freeze the electronics and ruin them. So I think that's what that's about. And then they'll probably start testing, you know, modules or something. Nonetheless, I think it'll be good. I'm sure there's a lot of benefit in that. Also, I learned the other day, there's only been one, I mean, I guess that they've all been scientists to some degree because, you know, they do science, but they're like more like pilots. I mean, most astronauts are pilots. There's only been one actual scientist, like with a doctorate in a field of science. I don't remember which field of science it was, but only been one in space, or at least on the moon. And I think that's interesting. I figured that more people who went to the moon would be scientists, but I guess scientists aren't built for the space travel. So, I don't know why, but I think they should probably work on that. I figure if you're gonna do science on the moon, you gotta have scientists on the moon. But that's why I guess, you know, astronauts just like double as everything. They are maintenance and scientists and engineers and the pilots. What I wouldn't give to be an astronaut. Astronauts are such a cool job. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like I've rambled on about space flight for a while now. So Tracy Richardson has endorsed Ben Weber. We talked about that a little bit. I do think that that's going to be good for Ben Weber. Tracy Richardson, I do believe, has a lot of sway. You know, she termed out of this seat, so she's been there a while. She already won a primary against Weslin. You know, I think Ben was... I don't know if there's even polling for state rep candidates, but... I don't... I don't think that she was in the lead. I think Ben was probably in the lead. I've seen more of his signs, at least for sure. So, I think that the endorsement by Tracy Richardson is going to help a lot. She does have her people. And, you know, like was brought up in, I don't know, the last hour or maybe the first hour of the evening, but Tracy Richardson, I'm sure, has more political ambition than state rep. So I'm sure she's going to run for something again at some point. And I don't think she... And it is a good point. I don't know that she'd want to be tied to a losing campaign as far as losing the primary. So I think that there's a... She at least thinks there's a good chance that he's going to win the primary. So I'm interested to see what happens primary night, by the way. You know, you have Vivek Ramaswamy's being primaried by Casey Putsch. I don't think Casey Putsch has really a chance. But I do think it'll show, you know, how weak Vivek is. I do know there's a split in the Republican Party. You have, like, the DeWine Republicans. You have, like, the Casey Putsches. And you have, I guess the Vivek Republicans. So I'm interested to see where that happens, or what happens there, I guess. I don't know. But I think that smart money's probably on Ben. And now, like I said, there has been an Iranian delegation that arrived in Pakistan, and J.D. Vance is doing the negotiations for that... for this meeting. He is leading the negotiations for us, so I don't know who exactly all is going to be there, but hopefully we got some competence. Now, J.D. Vance, I don't think, is an incompetent guy, or incompetent, I suppose, but I don't think that he's exactly, I don't know. I don't think he wants a war, I suppose. I mean, he has been kind of playing... He's kind of been playing diplomat himself, just kind of flying around from country to country, talking to people. So that's good, I guess. But I don't know to what extent it's going to be useful. I don't know that the Ayatollah wants, or Iran wants to... make the ceasefire. I mean, I'm sure they'd make the ceasefire if Trump accepted their demands, but their demands are very lopsided in favor of them, as you might suspect. So, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they're going to take any demands that... I don't know. Could it happen? Could there be a good set of demands that come up? Yes. Yes, there could be, and there could be one that everybody agrees to and benefits all and so on and so forth, but I don't think it's likely. You know, Iran and Pakistan, like I said earlier in this hour, have said that there was supposed to be no bombing of Lebanon. Lebanon is being bombed by Israel. Israel and the U.S. say that it was not part of the contract. I don't know if maybe there was a miscommunication somewhere along the line or something, but I would probably wager to say, personally, if I had to take a guess, it probably was in there. I mean, Pakistan's the one that helped negotiate. I mean, I don't know, maybe Pakistan's friendly with Iran. But, you know, I don't know. The Middle East, by the way, has been, not all of them, I think, but the majority of them, a lot of them, have been trying to get Donald Trump to continue with the war in Iran. Now, I don't know why. I mean, it would just... I don't see a benefit to it. It's such a waste of resources and money, and you lose lives, and they lose lives and resources and money. There's no winner in a war. I mean, you know, it's just, everybody loses something. So I don't know. But, I don't know, with that being said, I guess, that is it as far as the politics go. Now, I did want to bring up, specifically, I'm going to talk about the downfall of the Packers. Because, once again, we lost somebody today. And, you know, it's been not exactly great. We lost... Oh, gosh. Sorry, I have, like, mucus in my throat. Yes, but we've lost a lot of people. The Packers have lost Romeo Doubs. He's a wide receiver. Romeo Doubs was a wide receiver, too, I do believe, operating as wide receiver, too. He's rather good. I do believe he went to the Patriots. Dontavion Wicks, he left. Don't know where he went. But, the Cardinals, maybe something like that, the Eagles, I don't remember. But Dontavion Wicks is gone, so that's another wide receiver. Malik Willis is gone, that's a backup quarterback. So two wide receivers, a quarterback. Rashawn Gary, that's the D-end. Kingsley Enagbare, D-end. Nate Hobbs, corner. Elton Jenkins, lineman. So I don't know how they're going to replace all these people. I mean, maybe they don't need to replace all the wide receivers. We still have Christian Watson. We still have Romeo Doubs. Or no, sorry. We still have Christian Watson. We still have Jaden Reed. And we still have Matthew Golden. And we still have Tucker Kraft. And we still have Josh Jacobs. And, you know, people like that. So it's not like a complete loss, but it certainly hurts the depth there. Rashawn Gary's gone. But Rashawn Gary hasn't played well for the last, like, on the last half of the year, he didn't have a single sack. I don't know what the game plan is to replace them. I would assume they're going to draft a lot of linemen and whatnot. Now, I will say the Packers added Sky Moore. Now, I don't think Sky Moore is going to be all that great. I mean, I have nothing against Sky Moore. He's not terrible, but I think that everybody who I just listed off that we let go, as far as wide receivers, is still better than him. He is just probably just a depth pickup. You know, you gotta have extra roster to just in case of injuries and whatnot. Now, by the way, I would like to mention that Christian Watson, when he's healthy, is very good. But I would rather get rid of Christian Watson, keep Romeo Doubs, but it's too late for that. Anyways, Christian Watson, when he's healthy, is very good. Jaden Reed, in my opinion, should be our number one wide receiver. And Matthew Golden kind of didn't do a whole lot, but, you know, they probably developing him. So, I guess there's that. Now, they are going to have to develop the pass rush. As you know, they let go of Enagbare and Rashawn Gary. We did get can't think of his name. Javon Hargrave. Hargrave is okay. He's older. But nonetheless, it's all right. Now the draft is happening soon. Not, like, incredibly soon, but I really couldn't tell you anybody who's in the draft. So, there's that. Now, I do know that there's a running back that Saquon's been really high on. It's, I do believe, Notre Dame's running back. The draft is a lot sooner than I thought. It happens April 23rd through 25th. So, give it a few days here, and we'll see the draft. Now, so it is time for fantasy to happen again. So if you're gonna play fantasy, you should probably start your leagues. Nonetheless, sorry, I got a message there. But nonetheless, yes. It'll be interesting to see, but yeah. So, with that being said, if you have anything you'd like to say, please feel free to call in 740-383-9944. But, no, so, I mean, I think it's a whole interesting thing right now as far as the Packers go. I think the organization is kind of in a rebuild. I mean, we had I think Mark Murphy retired. He was our, like, GM, operating GM. I do believe that, well, we lost Jeff Hafley, we lost the defensive backs coach, we lost the linebacker coach, lost a whole lot of coaching staff, lost the backup quarterback, lost wide receivers, lost some defensive players. We didn't really sign anybody, but I am interested to see what the draft looks like. Hopefully it's all defensive players. I don't know. I think we could get a wide receiver one. The wide receivers we have are not great. I mean, they're okay. I think that they could be probably pretty close to a wide receiver two. Probably wide receiver three if they tried hard enough. But nonetheless, I don't know. I do think that the Packers are probably, I don't know, maybe this was a cap issue. Anyways, I guess it's enough about the Packers. But the a lot of the teams that had new head coaches, I wonder what they're going to do next year. Because I think this is probably the biggest shuffle of head coaches I've seen in a while. I mean, I think there were eight to ten. Because I do know there were a couple more who were added on later. So yeah, roughly 8 to 10 coaches that had new jobs, and that's, you know, like a third of the league has a new coach. And I'm interested to see what happens there. I think that if the Ravens head coach, whose name I cannot recall because he's the new head coach, if the Ravens head coach ends up doing well on the Ravens, I think that the NFL is going to see a lot more head coach turnover. You know, especially after, you know, I mean, like, the look at the Lions. I mean, they fired, I don't know, Matt Patricia, maybe, and then hired Dan Quinn. And Dan Quinn turned the team around in like, one season. Now, they weren't, like, Super Bowl contenders in one season, but he brought a culture to the team. Now, if the Ravens can come around and turn around and win, you know, go to the playoffs in his first year as head coach, have a good draft the next year, I think that it, long story short, if he has a better season than Harbaugh has had in the past few years, I think that the NFL is going to have a lot of turnover. I mean, because Harbaugh is a really good coach. So, I mean, he was instantly the most sought-after coach in the NFL when he left the Ravens to begin with. So, there's that. And also, he hired with the Giants. I think he should have waited, and then he probably could have got hired at the Bills. But I guess he thought wait too long and you wait too late, and the job offer for the Giants wasn't going to be there anymore. But I don't know. I think if he wanted to go to New York, he should have went with the Bills. The Bills had the best chance of taking him to the Super Bowl off the rip. You know, I don't know. I think a change of scenery is always good for a coach. I mean, look at Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy was great at the Packers for a while. And then after that, he, you know, he had a couple bad seasons, a lot of bad seasons. And then he was fired. We brought in Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur turned the team around pretty quickly. Matt LaFleur was great. Not, you know, he hasn't won a Super Bowl for us yet because he's a choker. But nonetheless, Mike McCarthy, he didn't win a Super Bowl with the Cowboys either, but Mike McCarthy had a good career with the Cowboys. And now he's coaching the Steelers. And apparently Aaron Rodgers is looking to come back to the NFL, but he doesn't know where he's going to play yet. I do believe the Steelers are after Russell Wilson right now. I think going after Russell Wilson is a terrible idea. I wouldn't go for Russell Wilson. I think Russell Wilson is a, I think, very not great quarterback. But I also heard that the Giants might go after Russell Wilson, which makes slightly more sense because he's not a, I wouldn't start him at this point, but if you could get him as a backup, I think he'd be a good mentor for Jackson Dart. Him and Jackson Dart play a similar style of football. I think it would work out if you could just get him as a mentor, and then second string if need be. But to have him as a starting quarterback at this point in time, I don't think that'd be a great idea. Now, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there's worse quarterbacks you could have, maybe. I don't know. I'd struggle to think of one. I don't know. He's just, I feel like he got one read, and he's just kind of washed, unfortunately. It is kind of sad, though. There's no quarterbacks like there used to be. There's no, like, where are the Drew Breeses and the Tom Brady's and the Philip Rivers and the Eli Mannings and the Peyton Mannings and the, well, Aaron Rodgers is still around, I guess. But, like, you know, those kind of people just don't play anymore. I don't know. It doesn't seem like anybody's beyond trading at this point, or at least going away. I mean, Tom Brady's the best quarterback in the NFL, and they got rid of that man, and he went to free agency, ended up on the Bucks, turned around, won the Super Bowl that year with the Bucks, was the first team, I do believe, to play a home game for the Super Bowl. So, I don't know. It's a whole different kind of a game now. I think that maybe they paid the players too much, which is why the cap issues become a problem. They do raise the cap every year. So, I mean, honestly, they could just get rid of it at this point and call it a day. I mean, you can't pay your players too much as to bankrupt yourself. So, I mean, there's already a salary cap. It's just like a light salary cap, you know. Or a hard salary cap, I guess I should say. You go past that and you're pretty much done for. But, nonetheless, I mean, there are plenty of teams, or not teams, sports that don't do it. Baseball has no salary cap. That's the only one I can think of. I said plenty. I guess I lied. but baseball doesn't have a salary cap. And it doesn't always end up being the team that spends the most money winning. So, I think that's interesting. Now, college football, on the other hand, I do think college football is kind of just the team who spends the most money. The NIL deals have kind of not been great, in my opinion. And I think the ability just to transfer whenever you want has not been great, because you can just kind of go anywhere you want. Not anywhere you want, because you have to get the offers, but you could go to a school, not do great, leave, go to a school, not do great, leave, go to a school, not do great, etc., so on and so forth. I think you're eligible for 5 college football seasons. So if you redshirt your first year, transfer, you could be at 5 different colleges. Like, what's the point? I think that they should set a cap or something. I don't know. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense as it stands, in my opinion. Speaking of colleges, by the way, back to the politics here for a second. Now, there have been protests at, I can't remember all the schools. I know OSU is one of them. I know Harvard has a couple buildings. But essentially, schools that have buildings named after people who are in the Epstein files, the colleges are, let me rephrase this. Colleges are being protested against with an effort to remove names such as Wexner's from the buildings. There are Wexner buildings in Harvard campus, I guess, and in OSU, and a few others. I don't remember which all. I just remember that Harvard I found interesting because I didn't know he went to Harvard. I don't know. Had Harvard buildings named after him. But, nonetheless, I don't know how that's going to work. I mean, it's a philanthropic donation. I mean, he donated a bunch of money to build those hospitals and those, you know, school buildings and so on and so forth. I don't know how you just take the name off. I mean, I guess you just do it. It's just a name. But I don't think they're going to give the money back. I don't know. It just kind of seems like it's not like none of this money went to good things. I mean, you know, he donated a bunch of it to the buildings to be built. I assume that's where he's why his names are on there. So, you know, I'm not saying that should he not have donated money, the buildings wouldn't have been built. But, I mean, I think it's certainly good that he donated money to help build the buildings. I just don't know that, removing his name doesn't change anything. It's still gonna be the Wexner Medical Center, for example. I mean, it's still gonna be called the Wexner Medical Center. People are still gonna call it the Wexner Medical Center, even if you take the name off of it. I'm sure of it. And you know, it's still the same building, still paid for by him. You didn't pay him back the money, so like it's still, you know, in theory, in debt to him. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they could pay back the money if they wanted to. I mean, the hospital, I'm sure, makes good money at this point in time. But, doesn't quite seem like they're all that, doesn't seem like they're all quite that hyper to remove his name off the buildings anyways. They haven't done it yet. But I don't know. I think it's interesting. I'm interested to see what happens as far as that goes. And, I want to see if his names get taken off the building. I would doubt it, but, you know, we shall see. With that being said, we have about 5 minutes left here. If you have anything you'd like to say, feel free to call in. Otherwise, you're probably not going to get a chance this week. So, 740-383-9944. That is 740-383-9944. And I suppose I can, you know, give some plugs here. So, you can listen live at www.wwgh1071.com. At the bottom of the page is a listen live button. You can just tap that and it'll start playing. You can also listen to the archives on there. So anything we have done previously that has been recorded will be saved to the archives. And, yeah, you can find all the old shows there, so feel free to listen to those. We are also live 24/7. 24/7, 365. So feel free to just tune us in whenever, using the website, or you can use the free TuneIn app and search WGH Talk. We will be on there as well. There are a few other things you can use. You can use, like, you know, Alexas and Google Nests and things like that, smart devices and so on and so forth. However you're listening now obviously works. Yeah. So it's always fun. Technology is interesting in the way it makes everything so easy to connect to, but I don't know that it's necessarily a positive at this point in time. But we shall see. Hindsight's 2020, I guess. Only time will tell. But no, I mean, I think that back to this for a second. Well, I don't even know what this is. I don't remember what I was talking about, but. No, I think it's good that Artemis 2 has come back. I'm big on space travel, like I was talking about. I'm very excited for this moon base. I'm, you know, interested to see what happens there. So I think that's neat. Now, I do know that, I don't know how soon it's going to happen, but I do know that I think they're estimating 2040. But that's a very, I don't know. It seems like a long time. But they're estimating 2040, and I do believe there is going to be trips to Mars. Now, not like you can know like commercial trips to Mars, but like there will be a manned mission to Mars. I don't know if those intentions to land people on Mars at that time, or if that's just like, because I do know they want to make sure that the vehicle is capable of doing a round trip, so they're going to send a vehicle to Mars and then back on all guided control system, like an all like automatic control system, and then they're gonna have it come back that way to ensure it can be done, and then so on and so forth, work on anything that might have happened, and then try it again, but this time with people. And then I guess after that, I think the game plan is to put people down there. But I think there's a lot more work that needs to be done.
I mean, I guess the moon base is probably good, but I mean, there's a whole different kind of a thing on Mars, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I don't know, Mars kind of just looks like the desert. I mean, you can find pictures of Mars on the internet. We've had Mars rovers up there for a while. It just kind of looks like the desert. It's just a bunch of sand and rocks. Red sand. But just sand and rocks. Now, it's pretty cool. I mean, they use I want to say the Sahara. I could be wrong, though. They use one of the deserts to test the Mars rovers because of how close it is to Mars soil. Because it's just a desert. But, I don't know. Like I said, I'm interested to see anything that happens. Also, I'm interested to see commercial space travel. There is supposed to be commercial space travel that's being worked on, but it's not going to be like you can fly to the moon and look there. But you can go up into low Earth orbit, so you're not even actually out of the Earth. Like, you're not even out of the atmosphere. Like, you see the curvature of the Earth, but you're not out of the atmosphere. You're high enough to experience zero gravity, which is pretty cool for a little bit. So yeah, I don't know. Space is cool. Zero gravity is cool. I like that kind of thing. It's always a good time to, space travel. But with that being said, we have about a minute left here. So, I don't know. I think we should go to the moon and make a base and then, keep the base there. I think we should just keep pushing for new bounds, and as JFK said, we choose not to do it because it's easy, but because it's hard. We like challenges. It gives you a nice sense of pride when you do something that has some challenge to it. So, I don't know why you wouldn't take a challenge in your life at some point. But I appreciate everybody for listening. I hope you all have a wonderful night, and well, welcome the Artemis II astronauts back to Earth, and potentially welcome Kamala Harris back to the elections, and have a nice night. I appreciate it. Bye.
You're listening to the place for the best guests and talk.